The Loco Hoops Report is presented by H2 Basketball. Rob Benson and Rodney Mayers are building a program dedicated to advancing hoops in the Loco. They're providing opportunities for the area's best ballers to elevate their game through clinics, camps, open runs, and developmental leagues, and their elite AAU travel program is bringing all the area's brightest stars together to rep Loco. See what they're up to at h2bball.com and help the Loco become a hoops hotbed. This is the Loco Hoops Report, covering basketball in the South Carolina Lowcountry. Here are your hosts, Justin Jarrett and Wes Kerr.
Hey, Loco sports fans, welcome to another edition of the Loco Hoops Report. I'm Justin Jarrett, joined as always by Wes Kerr, Rob Benson, and Nick Field. And now we're going to talk a little bit of girls' hoops in the South Carolina Lowcountry, Buford, Jasper, and Colleton counties. And as has been the theme of the season, we're still getting a lot more games postponed than played these days as we get toward the postseason. So we're going to talk a little bit later about what's going to happen with the region tournaments and everything, and how that's going to shake out as far as determining who makes the playoffs. But first of all, let's just kind of kick it around the room about the games that have been played. What gyms have you been in? Who have you seen? Who has impressed? And what'd you learn this week, guys?
Yeah, I got to see the undefeated 14-0 Hilton Head Christian Academy girls, 20-point win over Hilton Head Prep, and really it was a slow start for the Lady Eagles, but they found their groove scoring inside. They hit some impressive threes and really picked apart a really talented Dolphin defense who does not make it easy on anybody. Not the biggest game that I expected to see from Dior Shelton, but my goodness, those young freshman guards have just taken that next step from since when I saw them in December. They just look so much more polished and more confident too. I mean, whether it was Devin Yard just dominating her defenders, driving to the hoop, or making the right pass to the open teammate, having that vision to find those open players, she already has been growing into that bona fide point guard. And man, I wish I could have seen them push the tempo level, you know, especially Devon, who if she makes this a track meet, I mean, good luck hanging with those Eagles, because man, those guards can run. And then Molly Smith was fantastic as well. Maybe the best game I've seen her play, along with that state semifinal when she went off last year in the playoffs, hitting some big shots. But man, she can do it all. Three-level scorer, such an electric and fun young player to watch. Certainly overcome a lot and is showing off so far this year. And then Skylar Smith is just that sharpshooter and knows how to drain a big one. And she's hit a couple big ones recently, including in that game. And in terms of their effort level overall, for the majority, it looked around a B-. And I expected a little more, but even with that effort, they have the talent to just go past you. And when they turn on their A-game, which they have certainly done many times this year, and I'm sure they will do it again, look out, because they will run. I really think they can run this whole table to the state championship. And, Justin and I had so much fun talking with Dior the other day. Check that out on the Loco Lowdown podcast. What a tremendous player Dior has been. He's even better person, volunteering all over the island and the community. And she's just battled through tons of adversity. Really such a hard worker and doing a tremendous job as leader of this team. We just had two great leaders last year, McCarthy and Campbell, no longer there. And she's had to be the number one, and she has done it exceptionally well. And just carrying on that tradition, going for a three-peat. So proud of Dior, and I'm sure Rob, especially you are too.
Yeah, she's such a humble leader. I mean, she really is. You saw her, if you listened to the interview, you heard her kind of confess that she was scared during the state championship game last year, and you could see it. I mean, it was a big spot, and there were some nerves there, and you could tell that there was a lot of pressure on her. But for her to kind of reveal that to us, you know, that like, I was scared. And she was scared about becoming the one, you know, being the girl, the leader. That was a new role for her, but I think she's adjusted to it very well. And the way they're sharing the ball, and obviously the way they're winning, says a lot about her leadership, her selflessness as a leader, because she doesn't have to go. She could go out and put up 30 a night, but she doesn't have to, and she doesn't need to. So yeah, it was great talking with her. She's a great kid. She's really quiet. You got to kind of get her out of her shell a little bit, but maybe talking to her at 8:30 in the morning didn't help there, but she's awesome. And that team is phenomenal. Just ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous, you know, Rob.
Yeah, I do. There, you know, Dior's a special kid. She's like, you know, between her and the commitment of her mom and dad, they are one of those families. I think, you know, the McCarthys as well, Brielle, and some of them, Molly Smith, are, you know, going back, who really left the area to go train, you know, had to go find stuff that was on the level that was compatible with what, you know, their ceiling and what their current skill set was. So you got to give her a lot of credit for, you know, having the rubber meet the road and you know, putting these back-to-backs together and getting her 1,000th point last week, which was great. You know, she's a deserving kid. She's soft-spoken. It doesn't surprise me necessarily that, you know, she's not a massively alpha leader, which is why I actually think, you know, she's very undervalued in terms of her recruiting to what she could be. On a college level, because she's not going to be forced to be, 100%. You know, not going to be forced to be the man. So if she has the, you know, tangible skills, you know, skill set, but she also has the length, and she's just undervalued. I think it's a shame right now. I think hopefully, you know, if she runs the table here in terms of the 2A states, that maybe, you know, she can continue to get some more looks. Maybe, I'm not sure if she's thinking or talking about, you know, doing a little spring run with us, but we are allowed to run 21s a little bit. So that could also help the stock with the notoriety of some of the competition we're going against, you know. And then beyond that, she was dinged up when we ran this past fall. So people didn't truly get to see her very much. And then when they did, she, you know, wasn't at peak performance. So, you know, there's a lot of high end to her game still. And if someone just invests, you know, a little bit of time and energy, they're going to get a hell of a player for 4 years and beyond. And a great kid with, you know, really solid character. So, you know, I got nothing but love, you know, for Dior, her work ethic, and, you know, how everything seems to come up roses that she touches these days. So Christian's got a heck of a tough one though today, y'all. They play Cardinal Newman in Columbia. Yeah. And so that's, right. So I think in terms of talking about running the table, you're talking about probably a Hilton Head Christian team is almost close to a double digit dog today. And that's
and they sought it out. They sought it out. That's the best part.
So here's the beauty of Christian right now is that, like, they're playing five times this week. It's come hell or high water. We're like, they're Tark the Shark of the Low Country, right? They will go on the road any place,
give me a towel,
any barn, any gym, and they're like, let's go. And I just love it, you know. It's no duck season ever with Kenny Conroy. He's not ducking people. He's calling whomever. He's calling the publics. He's calling the privates. He's doing whatever. And so, you know, I got nothing but good things to say about that. The fact that this game popped up like middle of last week for this week when they already had three or four on the books is just absurd. So, and awesome. All of it at the same time. I wish them the best.
It fell through, right? And then they rescheduled it.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, and it didn't think – no one thought it was coming back, though, is the thing. Like, you talked to all of them. No, oh, no, the Cardinal Newman game's gone. It's too bad, blah, blah, blah. Now it's the Calvary game's gone, but Cardinal Newman's right back on deck. So, you know, go figure.
I mean, it's like it's like, oh, no, here comes the loss. I'm going to eat my words about them running the table. It's like, how can you doubt this team? I mean, they just pull through every time. How can you go against them?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can necessarily in the Low Country. I'm not sure there's anyone I would take against them in the Low Country, but they're looking at like Ashlyn Watkins today, who's essentially a kid who dunks on you in the open court every chance she gets. You know, Tanaja Kennedy is in their backcourt, who's an elite, you know, playmaker. They've got kid like Skyla Tuthill coming off the bench for Cardinal, who's an eighth grader who I think has offers from like South Carolina. And things of that nature. Now, of course, you got one of Dawn Staley's girls sitting at the head of their bench, Asia Durr. So it's like, and she was head co-director of the South Carolina 76ers, which, by the way, is where Dior and Molly and all them went to go train with for years.
Right.
Right. So what you're looking at is, you know, a real opportunity to sling, you know, that arrow, that rock or whatever, and hit a Cyclops in the eye. you know, as they used to say in boxing, the puncher's chance, right?
Yeah.
Every one of our kids going up there is, if you break it down, is not anyone's draft choice by comparison to the kid they're lining up against. And that even includes kids like Yard, you know?
Yeah.
She has a big opportunity to make a big step. And she's going to get that opportunity a billion more times over the next 3 years. But like today, no one's heard of her yet. We know who she is. They haven't. They have kids who are top 10 in the state in their position that they're going to roll out. So that's the beauty of it. And like talking with, you know, Devin's dad, actually last night, he could care less if they win or lose. Of course he wants to win, but what he wants is to test their chops, you know, not be bored. And so I think that's the level of competition, you know, that why it pushes Devin and why Mike's who Mike is. But then beyond that, it kind of pervades the Christian culture. It's like line them up, knock them down, let's go. And I love it. So
it is very impressive. Well, Nick, you still haven't gotten to see your Eagles back on the court recently, but Friday night, if all goes well, you'll get out to Hilton Head Prep and we'll get to see Michaela Washington and talk about her again. But have you been checking out any girls hoops over the past week, or has it been all Hilton Head Prep boys film all the time?
I watched a little bit of the Hilton Head Prep girls and Hilton Head Christian girls. And, man, you guys talk about Kenny and what he's done scheduling. Because, you know, what I was watching was they could have just ran away with that. And it was a 20-point win, but it was the first time that I got to see them for an extended amount of time this year. But, I mean, they're looking good. Devin's incredible. You know, Dior is who Dior is. So I'm looking forward to that game. I didn't know they were going to play Cardinal Newman until Rob said, and I looked it up, and Cardinal Newman beat Northwood by three or four. So, you know, they've got to be incredible, because we saw Northwood, you know, up close, and that's a tough basketball thing. So, you know, but I like Kenny's philosophy. It's kind of something that I'm trying to adapt down here. And I think what a lot of people don't understand is, you know, we want to test our kids and get them battle tested, but there's also the recruiting aspect of things. Like, you know, when we play Porter Gaud, now we have film of little Ben guarding, you know, Denham, who's already committed to Harvard. So when you get some of those games in, it's better for the kids and for their recruiting as well. So, you know, they're going up to play Cardinal Newman, and Rob's talking about all these girls that are ranked. Well, now Devin, essentially a girl that nobody's heard of, is going to get to go up there and get film against this girl who's being recruited by, you know, this school, and this girl who's already committed to that school. So that's the other part of it that we don't talk about as much, is sometimes you sacrifice, you know, maybe an undefeated season or, you know, rolling over people to either get your team better by competition, or get some of these kids out there and get them some good film to send to the college coaches. So you know, bravo to Kenny. He's doing a great job over there.
By way of girls, I mean, that this is applied back into, you know, the real teeth of COVID in the summer and the quote unquote, the travel ball slate as well. These kids, they're getting out there and they're getting to be seen against the other elite kids, whether it's travel ball or whether it's what Kenny's doing right now. But that's really the pro of all of it, is that, you know, you're putting the kids at the forefront so that they can go out there, show their wares, and do, you know, get the whole free education thing happening. I think sometimes we get a little insular and caught up in X and O and this, that, and the other, and you take some of, there gets to be too much duck season. One of the things that was great about the summer also was that all the circuits went away, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, they all went away. So all these teams that were affiliated just got to schedule themselves. And guess who they scheduled? Other teams like that. So all of a sudden, we play tournament in Rock Hill, where they have a sunken 3,000-seat arena, and it's on Friday night. It's EYBL, Nike's EYBL versus Under Armour's Association. Well, that's stuff you didn't see, you know, in the past bunch of years. And that's sad. That used to be why AAU was created, to get DC to go after LA for the first time, see each other. Now they all avoid each other. And I think that that also is something that happens in high school ball, whether it's public and private, like we said a little bit on the boys' side, or whether, you know, and when you have mentalities that are saying, you know, like Kenny has, or, you know, Nick, where they're just going to put it down and let their kids get out there and understand what it is and showcase them for the good or the bad, you're going to take losses. You know what I mean? You just are. But if you're more caught up in the L than you are in showcasing the kid, then I think your priorities are out of whack.
Yeah, I think sometimes here you run into the resistance coming the other way. The publics don't see anything to gain from playing the privates.
They don't have much to gain.
They don't.
You know, so I understand. And, you know, when I was in the public school system, you know, I would say, like, you know, let's not play the private, you know, if we think it's going to be a game. But, you know, also that was me as a younger coach. On the private side, we got everything to benefit from playing some of these schools. But the public side, I could definitely see that. But you know, Rob said, and I was saying earlier, showcasing those kids, that's got to be, you know, kind of towards the top of your priority list. You know, we talked about Little Ben against Denham. And we actually had a coach from Harvard ask about Little Ben. And, you know, that's something that now we have a full game of him going up against one of his commits. And obviously Denham destroyed him. But there's a couple possessions, you know, where Little Ben got by him a couple times. And, you know, there's things like that that's going to end up helping the kid so much more than, you know, the difference between being 18-4 and 22-1 and things like that. So I think it's important. I think it's important to go schedule, you know, everybody you can and go play and let's see who's got what.
Well, I mean, the thing is also is that there is no – historically, there's no competition truly between public and private ball. And I know someone's going to scream from the rooftops at me on this, but if you look from like the 70s through now, there's maybe five truly great public school teams that can play with like the elite top 10 privates of any given year, right? So like when you're starting to put these academies together in the Oak Hills and what used to be,
Windermere and all those.
Yeah, and I mean, in like your neck of the woods, Sunrise Christian, like how do you, does a public school in Kansas compete with Sunrise Christian? Right. You can't. It's not close. It's a 40-point blowout with your 6A champion. You know, it gets closer here in South Carolina on some years where you have like elite years for what's the school out there in Spartanburg, for example, Dorman. So you'll have an elite year from Dorman and they're still going to lose by 5 or 10 to Legacy, you know, right down the road. And then Legacy goes on the road and plays the MLK tournament last weekend, you know, up at Hoop Hall, and they get shellacked by everybody. So, you know, there's levels to this thing. Yeah. So, and I think that's what people need to understand. So there's really nothing, you know, anyone really should fear. I guess there's kids who get taken from public to private, but whatever. I mean, a lot of times, like we just stated, it's a matter of showcasing, you know, whatever's going to make sense for the kid and it's going to get them the best opportunity to play for free at the next level, or if it even increases, you know, their ability to have a high-end education opportunity or whatever. Who knows? But I know this, we got good publics and privates around here, and I'm excited to see what Creek's got in store. I think that their week lined up is one of the best weeks we've had lined up all season long, boys or girls.
I didn't get to see any girls last night. Unfortunately, the Bluffton Hilton Head game was postponed. Late breaking news there. And I got there and I was halftime of boys already. But I've seen May River a couple times recently, and that team is growing up fast. I went into the year thinking how young they were because they graduated so much, but they actually have a bunch of seniors who have just, you know, kind of been asked to step into bigger roles and they're growing up, you know, they're growing into those roles quickly. And then the younger kids are growing up fast. And now all of a sudden they're kind of scary and they've won 4 in a row in the region. They're just dirty on defense. They only gave up 13 points to James Island last night. You know, they've been just getting rough and tumble, playing like Bluffton, really. And so now I'm excited to see that rematch of these two teams and just see if May River has been able to close the gap at all, because they look like the second best team in the region anyway, and, you know, the biggest threat to Bluffton. So they've been fun to watch. Morgan Kinlaw-Scott obviously is a force inside. Jordan Bigham has kind of struggled offensively, but has, you know, really dug in at the defensive end. She's gotten so much attention in the post, and it's kind of opened up Morgan on the weak side. But the young guards are getting better, and again, those seniors who have played roles in the past, like Addison Black was the leader last night. I think she had like 12, which if they get anybody in double digits, that's a win, because most of the time it's like six girls had 7 to 9. But I like what they're doing. We've talked about Jermaine, obviously, is one of the best coaches around. And clearly, if you look at where they were at the start of the season, you know, struggling against Pinewood Prep, to where they are now, they've come a long, long way.
I'd almost call them like the surprise so far. I mean, when you think that they've run off four in a row, and I still don't – I mean, this is a Bigham thing, I think, right? Because essentially going into the Bluffton game – a lot of these kids have been running the same travel team. They're on the old Bluffton Bulls for years and years and years. But when you're looking at it, the Bluffton backcourt kind of ate up the lion's share of minutes there. Whereas, you know, the May River backcourt maybe provided like that spot minute duty or whatever. So you would expect Bluffton to kind of get loose. But, you know, Ari Bevins has picked it up for May River.
Yep.
You know, and I think she's a kid that early on, like we talked about Molly Smith, I saw her in Jermaine's gym some 5 years ago, you know, and she was a very skilled kid at that point. So it's good to see her back.
Take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back with our Players of the Week and a look at the week ahead on the Loco Hoops Report.
Hey, Loco sports fans. If you've ever found a spider or a palmetto bug in your home, or worse yet, if your wife or kids did, you know it's not a fun time. You don't have to worry about that when you trust Bluffton Pest Management to keep the bugs out. The owner, Keith, has been my go-to bug guy for years, and his expertise and customer service are unmatched. Check him out at BlufftonPest.com and request a free inspection. Go bug free in 2021 and go loco with Bluffton Pest Management. When you need a home inspection, you want someone you can trust, someone who feels like a friend. That's why you need to call on Homegrown Home Inspections for a quality, detailed inspection and the kind of customer service you will only get from a small, locally owned family business. Call 843-949-8802 or visit homegrowninspectionsc.com to book your appointment today. Go Loco! Lowcountry Greenery has been serving Hilton Head for 37 years, offering full-service lawn care, landscaping, hardscaping, irrigation, and lighting, along with the island's number one horticulture plan. Call 843-290-0310 and use code LOCOGREEN to get half off the first 3 months on a weekly lawn care plan, or $350 in new plants for your landscape. Go Loco!
All right, thanks so much to our sponsors. Of course, to you, Rob, and H2 Basketball for your presenting sponsorship, as well as our supporting sponsors, Bluffton Pest Management, Homegrown Home Inspections, and Lowcountry Greenery. Thanks so much for supporting the show and grassroots local sports journalism. Let's pick our players of the week, and then we'll go through what we're looking ahead to in the next week ahead and wrap this thing up. But players of the week, Wes, we got to see not so much girls basketball this week. We got a little bit in. Who was your player of the week?
I'm going to go with the Bluffton Bobcat, and it's not Sequoia Hayward this time. It's Faye Rodney. A tremendous game from the freshman over there, and maybe her best one yet. Really showing up in a huge way. 14 points in the game, including 4 of 6 from three-point range against Buford. And, you know, she's becoming a heck of a lethal shooter out there. And my goodness, that's what they desperately needed, is another consistent shooter. Especially one who could bang it from the outside. And Rodney has been all that and more, and also been that Ballin defender is contributing to a fantastic defensive effort all season, especially holding a really dangerous Buford team, just 27 points. So certainly has that knack for playing lockdown D and picking up some steals as well, and a fantastic guard and an excellent shooter who's just going to get better. Man, wait until both of those girls are seniors. This team is going to be a nightmare to face.
No doubt. she's impressive. She's better than I expected even this year, and I knew they were high on her. She's really strong and Great backcourt there, yeah. And I mean, great all-around team. I was looking forward to seeing them again last night and unfortunately didn't get to. But, yeah, Katie gets better every time I see her. She's very aggressive with the ball and confident. That's the most impressive thing to me about their young players is their confidence. And, you know, I guess a lot of that comes from what you guys are doing over there at H2, Rob, and in the AAU circuit, just getting those kids exposure to competition. So they're not afraid of the moment. They're ready for it. But who's your player of the week over there, man?
Oh, man. Well, we'd love to take credit for the Bluffton guards, but, you know, they kind of came up and Rod and Jamie's bowl system. And so they're, yeah. You know, we're blessed to think they're coming aboard here. So, that'll certainly help H2.
That's kind of what I meant. That whole conglomerate of AAU guys.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just not trying to, you know, however much time I've been around trying to grab success for kids that worked hard for years. Right. But at the end of the day, the number of 2024 sole backcourt. So we talked to Estel just a second ago. That's a 2024 backcourt, both of them. They average 32 points a game between them. You're talking Hilton Head Christian, you know, all freshman backcourt. You're talking Bluffton, all freshman backcourt. Wow, that's just really just something.
What was going on in the water around here around like 2006 or whatever?
I don't know, but like this H215s thing keeps me up at night, and I'm just thinking it's positionless, and we just, you know, amoeba is end to end, roll it out. But anyway, there's just so many good guards. But if I'm going to pick a kid this week, it's to your extended coverage zone, which would be Maya Hutchinson. You know, she's just she's ridiculous, guys. I mean, I don't even know what to say about her. Like, I think against Bridges, she had 31, 9, 8, and 7 in limited minutes and running time and basically forced nothing and gave up about 12 open looks to get assists for teammates and all that. So she doesn't really apply. Dior got her 1,000th. I'm not sure if I did that one last week or not, but that's a pretty big one. Player of the week. I'm giving – wow. I don't know, guys. Prep lost 3 in a row. Taylor. Taylor. I don't know. Yeah, Nick, you take my pick.
I'm going to go Devin Yard. That was an easy one for me, man. You know, I've kind of talked about this before. Anytime you have, you know, that senior leader that's been there, that's done basically everything you could do in this area, like Dior, and then you have a freshman come in, you know, that's kind of what we had last year with Amelia Hubel. And then you have Michaela Washington come in. So there's, you know, some transition stuff there. You know, your seniors paid her dues already. She's got to get hers. But I think at some point, you know, whether it's this year or next year after this class graduates, Devin is just going to go absolutely crazy in the region. She's incredibly talented. She can handle it both hands. She can shoot, finish. I mean, she's really, really good. I don't think she gets enough credit for it.
She's so lanky. Like, she can really grow into her body.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And
she's gonna get so much stronger
every week. But, you know, last year I thought she was better than Brielle, and Brielle was a 1,000-point scorer and, you know, a champion and all these, you know, things. You know, Devin's the real deal. I think they go, you know, and she makes them go. And I think we'll see that really next year when they go off a little bit. I mean, if Devin played at like a John Paul II this year or like a Thomas Hayward, we'd be seeing crazy numbers. I think she'd be scoring 30 plus all the time because she would have to. And the case is she doesn't have to right now. It's a team game because they've got great players on that team. But I'm going to go, it's kind of a long-winded way of saying I'm going Devin Yard.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that skill, that speed, that talent, that work ethic, it's all there for Devin Yard. I actually thought one of you would go with Molly Smith, who would probably have been my second pick if I had one, because she was outstanding in my Hilton Head Prep game. She could shoot from anywhere. She could finish up close, bang in the corner three, and then get into the line. I mean, she did everything for that offense. So, I mean, it just goes to show you how many unbelievable guards they have, young guards too.
If you take out her like 3 games where she was injured, I think she's now Molly, I think of the games she's played, of the last seven or eight, if say she's played five of them, I think they've all been double figures. So she's really started to round out. You know, and we've always known, everyone in this area, that Molly is an incredibly skilled kid and is a tough competitor. She's just had, you know, some difficulties physically over the last couple of years that now it really feels like she's on the back end of, you know, which is really wonderful to see. She's a heck of a competitor. But that'd be a good one, too. I think she played every bit as well as Devin this past week.
All right. Well,
hey, you can take her. She's still on the board.
No, I'm keeping the expanded covered zone.
I got you.
Yeah. Like I was kind of a little bit blown. I was a little bit blown away by that whole experience.
So you have just taken it upon yourself to expand our coverage area to Hampton County.
Am I allowed to pick Patrick Henry kids? Am I allowed to pick Patrick? Oh, they're Estill too, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
I was thinking they're a Collinson. Darn it.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with a Shark. I've been on May River lately. I'm impressed with what they're doing. And Morgan Kinlaw-Scott, she's been huge lately for them. You know, you talk about all this freshman backcourt. Well, there's your freshman post. Morgan with 9 points, nine boards, a steal, and a win over Buford. And they only scored 37 in that game. So nine is a nice number. 8 points, 14 boards, an assist, and two steals against Colleton County. And then she had seven of their 32 last night and four rebounds and assist and a steal against James Island. So they've won four in a row. She's had double-digit boards twice and nine in another one in that four-game stretch. She's scoring a lot of it on weak side glass, but points are points. And got offensive rebound numbers this year, last four games, 3, 5, 6, and 4. So she's just crushing the offensive glass and you know, getting cheap points. And the way they play defense, you don't need but about 25 to 30 to win. So if you can get 7 to 10, that's good stuff. And they got three more years of Morgan Kinlaw-Scott. So that's my player of the week.
A good one.
Yeah, we had an embarrassment of riches this week, really. Left our girl Taylor Michael off the list, and I know you name-dropped her, Rob, but she had another huge week, and it's really just been tremendous since she got back. And they got a big win against Cathedral, a team that had beaten them by 13 a couple weeks ago. So that was good stuff. She had in that one, I'll just shout her out, 20 points, 8 boards, 3 steals. Yeah, we'll take it, Taylor. Good work. Yeah. And then she went out the next night and shot wrestling and basketball on the same night. She's an amazing kid. So what can you say? All right, guys. Well, let's look ahead to the week ahead. We got some good games on the slate. Which ones are you looking forward to getting out to? Wes, where are you headed, buddy?
Yeah, I'll be headed to see the Michaela Washington show on Friday night as BA looking to get back in the swing of things against Hilton Head Prep. And, those Dolphins are desperate for a win. Just hasn't been happening for HHP girls. Can they shut down the electric Michaela Washington? She can bang it from anywhere. Prep has really struggled to find the offense. So I think if BA can get it going quickly, I think they get the job done on the road. St. Skeez, a really fun one between BA and JP2 as well later in the week. I mean, this could be anyone's for the taking. Taylor Michaels playing some great ball. Maddie Heathcott as well. So that should be a very fun game. And some big games on the South Carolina High School League side as well. May River. Look to get it done at Hilton Head. I think they shouldn't find too much trouble there. The Seahawks have just been unable to put much together. And as you said, I mean, those young guards and those all those Shark girls like Ari Bevins, then you got Morgan Kinlaw-Scott, as you mentioned, and Jordan Bingham, all of them are bowling now on offense and defense. And that's going to be a fun Bluffton May River. Upset's certainly not out of the question if they can get some shots. And I know they'll have their eyes on either Bigham or MKS. Morgan Kinlaw-Scott, take your pick. And you know, those others can make some. If you see some other players on that squad, those May River girls like Ari Bevin make some big plays, watch out. This certainly has upset potential. So, it's a really fun part of the season. You know, finally being able to compare local and loco teams as they start to get deep in the region slate.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll tell you who else they better watch out for is McKenna Swinton. She's a sophomore and she comes in the game and you're not really sure what to expect. She's, you know, she's a small powerful kid, but a point guard. But she's got one of the quickest triggers from three-point range that I've seen. I mean, she gets it up fast and is lethal. So, you know, if they can get her some space, she can change a game in a hurry too. She hit a couple against Colleton, and man, it was quick, super quick. So they've got some weapons over there. That's an interesting game to me, to say the least. I think that could be a lot more competitive than it was the first time around. You know, obviously I'm looking forward to talking about Michaela again. She was like one of the stars of the show for a few weeks, and we haven't got to talk about her in ages. What else are you guys looking forward to, Nick? Obviously BA getting back on the court is the story of the week for you.
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be great seeing them back out on the court. You know, it's just been tough. I think with COVID, seeing some of these kids not being able to participate. So, you know, obviously anybody coming back, I'd be really happy for, but, you know, especially cause it's the girls that I see every day. You know, Michaela's going to be a phenomenal player. She's going to have a great finish of the year, I think. But, you know, but we got some seniors on this team too, that, you know, maybe don't get all the attention, but they do enjoy going out there and playing, and they haven't been able to. So, you know, I feel for them, and I'm excited for them to get back on the court. You know, looking forward to them playing against Hildenet Prep, because I also enjoy watching Prep play. I like their, you know, hard-nosed defensive philosophy, you know, as far as that's concerned. But I think Michaela probably outscores, you know, Prep and John Paul, you know, by herself this week and next week. I think the big game that I'm looking forward to is the one that Rob mentioned, would be Cardinal Newman and Hildenet Christian. You said that was this week, right?
It's today.
Today? Yeah.
Tonight, yeah.
On, right, I mean, I guess it'll be done by the time this podcast is released, but yeah, that's got to be the one. I think it's the number one and the number two team in the state on max preps when you take all the private and publics and all the classifications and combine them. It's
oh, wow,
yeah, so it'll be pretty cool.
Rob's just going to be on the couch watching live streams for the rest of the seasons.
It's like I just discovered it. It's like I didn't know they existed until this.
Like I didn't know ESPN Plus had high school games.
What do you mean? I can stream off my whatever. Anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's gonna be a great one later, guys. But I got a little bit of an intrigue, added intrigue to the Hilton Head May River game, right? Hilton Head middle school pretty much dominated, albeit they had a close game in the finals of the middle school tournament. And so they're the champions, middle school, you know, tournament champions. And they had Leah Jackson, who I'd mentioned in the past, who's like 5'8", 5'9". She's legitimately an eighth grade Abby Peduzzi. Yeah. And, she just got moved up to varsity. So now that we're talking about these region sort of tournaments and things like that, Linda just got some help on the glass. If Coach R goes that direction, because he doesn't know anything about her, honestly, he hasn't seen her, so hopefully she impresses him enough to get on the floor, because that'll really even up those matchups, you know. And then beyond that, you know, obviously the game tonight's a huge one, but I'd also think that from what I understand, Hilton Head's about to start playing the Godson girl a little bit more. Oh, point guard slot. And she's a talented kid. I think there's been questions in the past how much she loved the game, but when she plays, she's a smooth operator. So there's a couple kids coming into that Hilton Head team, and then, you know, that Godson put up some pretty good numbers in mop time, but I hear that she's getting a more pronounced role. And then certainly Leah Jackson, if they just let her loose, you know, she's like the queen of the 50-50 ball of offensive rebounding, putbacks, hard foul. She's the whole thing. So I think they could potentially improve if they just sort of reevaluate what's on the roster there.
Yeah, and we've always felt like there was enough talent there for them to be a factor. Just didn't really have the depth. But yeah, if you can add in a couple of kids who are impact players, then that could be. It doesn't take a whole lot to tip the scales at this level, you know? I mean,
and again, that's an eighth and a ninth grader, again, we're talking about, to help tip the scales, right? So, yeah. I mean, that's sort of interesting.
Yeah, wild. Mm. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to Bluffton May River. Obviously, that's going to be fun. And to seeing Michaela get back in it. And JP2, BA, not so much. BA's got it. But no, JP2, I am looking forward to seeing their continued growth because they've got some young players who are stepping up as well. And we've talked about how good that coaching staff is. And definitely when you beat somebody that you lost to by 13 a couple weeks ago, that's always a good sign. They're moving in the right direction. So just looking forward to seeing some more ball. Every game's a blessing at this point. And actually, I'm looking forward to some region tournaments. That's going to be really fun. You know, playoff atmosphere for more games. That's you can't beat that. Playoff games are the best. So let's get more of them. That's what I say. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Loco Hoops Report. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can subscribe and get a notification every time we drop a new episode. We got a new one every week through the rest of the season. Thanks so much for joining us for this one. For myself, Justin Jarrett, Loco Sports, and the rest of the guys, thanks for being a part of it. And until next time, go Loco.